enemy, and they'd worked hard to stay off the Diamondbacks' radar. They'd tried to do something good, to save Plank's old lady, and now they'd brought hell down on their heads. Fuck them. He'd go at them one by one, take them out when no one suspected them. He glanced again at the president of the club. He'd suspect. He was too smart. He also recognized Czar had them boxed in. If push came to shove, they were all going to die. Code came out of the back with his computer. Got something, Czar. Don't know if it's the place where they're holding her, but found another club. They like to hide in plain sight. This one is in Marin. It's smaller and, as far as I can tell, no underground tunnels. He walked right past Anya, seemingly so intent on his computer and the information he'd come up with that he didn't notice the standoff in the room. Reaper knew better. Code was extremely lethal. He'd studied the monitors before he'd come out, and he knew the position of every Diamondback in the room. He already had his plan of kill, just as Reaper did. Just as they all did. Reaper also didn't doubt that Code legitimately had information that would help find the Diamondback's woman. Code bumped casually into Anya, as if he hadn't seen her. "Sorry," he muttered. Reaper saw Anya's eyes go wide, and knew Code had shoved a gun into her hand. He was proud of her. She hadn't so much as flinched. She was very pale, but she kept it together. She stepped away from Code toward the bar, where she could place the weapon on the shelf below the bar for easy access. "No problem. I hope you can help them, Code." There was sincerity in her voice. She had seen the work of the ghost hitmen. Code made his way to the table and plopped his computer between the two presidents. He leaned in between them, his body blocking Plank from Czar deliberately. No one had liked the idea of Czar exposing himself to danger. As long as he was in such close proximity to the president, he was vulnerable. "They have a small club in Marin, no underground, and the layout of the club doesn't leave a lot of places they could hide her. But if they took her fast, they'd have to have her close," Code said. "I've got my girl fishing right now. She can hack anyone. If she gets a nibble, she'll find your old lady." "Your girl?" Plank raised an eyebrow. "If they think we're going after her, they'll kill her. I had the feeling they wanted to kill her. Make us all think they can get to us any time." "Don't know her name or where she is," Code admitted. "She's an elite hacker. We met online several years ago and struck up a friendship. We help each other out occasionally. She won't get caught. I've tried tracing her and can't find her." Czar had been studying the layout of the club. Reaper saw him nod. Code was right. There didn't appear to be a place to hide a prisoner. "Anya, you ever work at the ghost club in Marin?" Anya leaned her elbows on the bar. Reaper guessed her legs were shaking, and she didn't want to draw attention to that fact. "I subbed in a few weeks when one of the bartenders was really sick." "What comes to mind? Take your time and think it over." Anya bit her lip, frowning a little. "The club is the draw for the big spenders, Czar. All their clubs are." "How many do they have, sweetheart?" Czar asked. "In the Bay Area? Just the two? They're very popular. Marin and San Francisco. In San Francisco, the casino is underground, but in Marin, it's at the Round Tower building. Big complex. A few condos. It's about 6 to 10 miles from the club. The club owns the building. The casino takes up the entire second floor. Security is particularly tight because they need time to hide the equipment from the cops if a disgruntled loser is ever stupid enough to turn them in. So far, that hasn't happened because they play rough." "She's got to be there," Code muttered. "I was already searching for properties owned by the club. It would have come up eventually, but Anya got us there faster." Plank started to rise. Anya's breath hissed out of her lungs. "No, stop!" She held up her hand. "You can't go after her. Not if she's there. Not like that." There was real fear in her voice. And for the first time, Reaper was torn between his duty to protect Czar and to get to his woman, who was clearly afraid. To Reaper's shock, Plank lowered himself back into the seat, looking at Anya. The president of the Diamondbacks beckoned to Anya. "Come here. Sit with us. Why can't we go after her if we know where she is?" Anya hesitated. The enforcer for the other club made a move toward her, and Reaper came out of the shadows. Every member of Torpedo Inc. stood up. Lana slid between the enforcer and Anya, while Elena positioned herself directly in front of the road captain, a faint smile on her face. "Did I ask you to escort Reaper's woman over to me?" Plank demanded. "Go outside and take a breather. I know Sylvia is your sister, but she's my wife. I'll get her back." That put things in perspective for everyone. Jif was strutting around, trying to make something happen. Anything. Just to bring his sister home safely. The enforcer stomped to the door, but didn't go through it. Instead, he turned back toward the table, arms folded across his chest, a stubborn look on his face. Reaper held out his hand, gesturing once toward the table, and Anya immediately came out from behind the safety of the bar. Elena glided away from Pierce, giving him her sweet smile. He grinned and shook his head. Lana followed Anya, making certain to stay close enough that Anya might feel safe, but enough of a distance that she could fight if need be. Keyes vacated his seat to allow Anya to sit beside Czar. She did so reluctantly. Plank leaned close. "Why shouldn't we go after her?" Anya took a breath, touched her tongue to her lips nervously, and then glanced first at Czar and then Reaper. Czar nodded. "Tell him, Anya." His voice was very gentle. "They'll kill her before you could ever reach her, and they'll be gone like smoke. That's why they call themselves ghosts. You can identify the main players by the little gold cufflinks they wear. They're in the shape of a ghost. They dress in suits, and if they do ride, they only ride to try to fit in. That building is very secure. Cameras, audio recorders, guards at every entrance. On every floor. At the elevators, I was taken there several times in the weeks I was subbing and worked the bar at the casino. I had to be escorted in and out. If they think you know where she is, they'll slice her into little pieces, just the way they did my roommate." Plank went silent. He sank back in his chair, staring almost uncomprehendingly at Anya. Reaper couldn't blame him. The Diamondbacks were considered one of the most powerful and dangerous clubs in the United States. Few crossed them. No president of a chapter would ever think someone would have the balls to kidnap his old lady. It just wasn't done. The entire club would hound you for the rest of your days. No one would stop until you were dead. If the Diamondbacks went after Plank's wife, they would do so in force, and she'd be dead before they got to her. That was plain to the club president. "We got out hammers, old lady," Czar said. "We were able to use blueprints of the tunnels and plan each move carefully. You know we're originally from Russia. Taking back people and things was sort of our business over there." "Why'd you leave?" Plank asked. "It got a little hot for us. Don't worry. We're legitimate here." Czar glanced at Code, who flashed a brief grin that failed to light his eyes. "The point is, that's our area of expertise, if you care for help in the planning." That would be a big one for the club president of the Diamondbacks to swallow. On the other hand, Plank was a very intelligent man. So far, Torpedo Inc. had been respectful, even when they made it clear they would be willing to fight if the Diamondbacks tried to take Anya from them. Plank was smart enough to use every resource available to him. "Do your thing. I have to make a couple of calls." "Plank, it's your call," Czar said. "But I'm warning you, the more people who know you're going in after her, the less her chances are. Let's find your mole, figure out how to get her back, and then make any necessary calls." Plank put his phone away. "How can you find the member betraying us? I would stand behind every member of my chapter. They're brothers." Code's fingers were flying on the computer. Data was moving across the screen. Almost too fast for the human eye. Plank craned his neck at first, trying to see what Code was accessing, but it was almost impossible from his angle. Code continued for a few minutes. In the silence, one could have heard a pin drop. He sucked in his breath and turned the screen toward Czar. While he did, his fingers tapped on the table. The sound was barely perceptible. Reaper read their code. Few things shocked him. He moved ever so slowly, a soft glide on the floor, staying in the shadows, trying not to bring attention to himself while he made his move, stalking his prey from the darker corners of the room. Ice, already with his back to the door, shifted subtly as well. Czar turned the screen toward Plank. The financials were there in black and white, the wins and losses, the losses piling up until the amount was obscene. Plank stood up, pushing back his chair slowly so the legs scraped over the wooden floor. "Anya," he said very gently, "I would very much like you to go to the back room for just a little while. I need to chat with Czar." Anya glanced at Czar, who nodded. Reaper appreciated that Plank realized Anya was new to the life. She got up without a word and turned toward the bar. Instead of going to the hinged slab that Reaper expected her to go to, she went around the bar toward the door that led to the back. To do that, she went dangerously close to the Diamondback's enforcer. Jif reached out with both hands and yanked her hard against him. One hand held a knife, and he locked Anya to him, the blade of the knife against her throat. "Anya, baby," Reaper spoke gently, "no alarm, no expression. Don't move until I say to move. Give me your eyes." He stepped in front of the Diamondback enforcer, right under a light so that it spilled down on him, bathing the lines and scars carved deep into his face with a yellowish, malevolent glow. Anya's gaze jerked to his, went wild in alarm, and then settled. He willed her breathing to do the same. The Diamondbacks surrounded Reaper, but he didn't back off, and he didn't look at them. Only Anya, keeping her grounded to him. "What's the problem, Hogan?" Plank asked, calling the man by his legal name instead of his road name. Plank walked through his men to stand beside Reaper, something Reaper would never have allowed Czar to do, and he hoped like hell that Ice and Storm or someone would prevent Czar from making that mistake. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Elena moving through the Diamondbacks, coming in from the left. Lana was taking the right. Jif didn't bother to look at either of them. No one could ever conceive of the two women being a threat. The truth was, they were every bit as lethal as any of the male members of Torpedo, Inc. They'd had the same training in every way to kill another human being. Jif shook his head. He was sweating. "Step back! All of you need to step back! I'll slit her fucking throat if you get any closer!" Anya made a soft sound of distress that crawled right down Reaper's throat and hit him in the heart, piercing deep, settling in his belly. She was pale, so pale her skin looked almost translucent. He took a deep breath. He would have to move fast. The knife was too close, skimming her flesh, a thin line of red appearing. "Hogan, take the knife from her throat. What the fuck is the matter with you? You've already cut her. We need their help in getting your sister back. You don't want them to get all riled up so we go to war and don't have time to bring Sylvia home." "You know. I know you know," Jif blurted. His eyes were wild. He was going to kill Anya. Reaper could see he'd made up his mind that he had nowhere to go. He'd double-crossed his club. He'd traded his sister's life for his own. He'd betrayed their code. Plank wouldn't forgive him. They'd kill him, and if they did it fast, it would be a miracle. "What do I know?" Plank asked softly, making him say it. Jif threw his head back and howled, "I owed them hundreds of thousands of dollars! If you'd just let them run their fucking money through our pipeline, they would have backed off. But you said no. I had to give them Sylvia. I had no choice. They were going to cut me up." "Who?" Plank prompted. "Who threatened you? If you'd come to the club, we would have protected you. taken care of it for you. That's what we do. Hogan had not only given up his sister. Two Diamondbacks had been killed when she'd been taken. He knew, no matter what Plank said, he was a dead man. Jif shook his head, his eyes wild with fear. Reaper could smell his terror. He'd smelled it enough times. With each back and forth of his head, the knife slid lightly over Anya's throat in a sawing motion. Blood trickled down her throat onto her chest. Reaper's gaze followed the drops. "Zar, when I kill this douchebag, are we going to war?" It was a warning to them all. "No war," Plank said. Reaper didn't wait. At the same time, Elena went in from one side, Lana from the other. Lana sliced right through Jif's arm, the one holding the knife, cutting up, not down, going through the under part of his arm, the blade continuing in one motion right under his armpit where she slammed it deep. Elena simultaneously yanked Anya free as Jif's arm lowered just enough to get his victim out of the way. Elena pulled Anya with one hand and went up under Hogan's other arm with her blade, twisting back to slice deep under the arm, and then shove the knife all the way into the armpit. Reaper went straight into the man, blurring fast, 1, 2, 3 seconds, and he was stepping back. Jif stood absolutely still, shock and horror on his face. Reaper's blade had sliced him up the middle, sliced open his belly, and twisted through his heart in one continuous stroke. Reaper didn't wait for the enforcer's brain to acknowledge death. He stepped into Anya, facing the Diamondbacks, sweeping her behind him with one arm. "You okay, baby?" he asked without looking at her. He was already feeling in a murderous rage. He wanted to carve a few of the Diamondbacks up. They'd come with their show of force, threatened Anya, and then tried to act as if they should help with the president's wife. "Reaper!" Zar's voice cautioned him. "Plank gave you the go-ahead. Anya's okay. Take her into the other room and clean that up. It's a knife wound. Infections are the worst." Plank kicked the body. Blood pooled on the floor around and under it. It was going to take a hell of a lot to clean that shit up. Reaper didn't do as Zar commanded. Elena pulled Anya to her, circled her shoulders with her arm, and took a step toward the back. The Diamondback road captain was blocking her way. "Nice moves," he said softly, admiringly. "You got a name?" Elena's chin went up. "Elena? Sometimes my brothers call me Torch." "I'm Pierce." "She's bleeding, Pierce," Elena said. "You got a man?" She didn't answer for a long minute, and then she shook her head. He stepped out of the way slowly. "Be back this way sometime soon." He turned, caught Reaper's eyes, shrugged, and stayed where he was. "We've got work to do," Plank said. "We need that girl to talk us through the building." "I've got my girl on it," Code said. He wasn't about to give up the name she went by on the Internet. Not to the Diamondbacks. "She's hacking into security, while I'm working on getting the entire layout of the building and parking garage. I want this piece of shit out of my sight. Buried deep. Hell, feed his ass to the sharks if you want. Just get him out of here," Plank said. "He's gone. And as far as Sylvia has to know, those fuckers who took her killed him. You understand?" He looked around at his brothers. "She doesn't ever know her brother betrayed her." Chapter 20 The Marin Ghost Club was a small little building sandwiched between two other buildings right on the edge of the water. The views were beautiful, and a long deck allowed those in the club to spill outside when it was too hot inside. The club was immensely popular, with the wealthy celebrities often visiting. Just as in San Francisco, the cars were assessed along with clothes and jewels, the valet radioing the managers of the club to let them know of potential players for the casino. Lana and Elena had already been given the VIP card from the San Francisco managers, and they were recognized. It had taken them exactly 4.5 minutes to be approached by the manager of the Marin Ghost Club. and another 7 before he offered them the card that would get them into the casino. The manager made it very clear they were welcomed back. They stayed another half hour, flirting and laughing with him. Elena danced with him twice. Keyes and Pierce entered, each man dressed in a suit worth well over $2,000. Pierce glanced at Elena as they found a table. "You always have your women do your dirty work for you?" he asked Keyes. Keyes shrugged, gave his order to the waitress, and looked across the table at the Diamondback enforcer. No one had brought his road captain patch. First, Elena is a fully patched member of the club. Both Lana and Elena grew up with us. They have a full vote in everything we choose to do, like running this little errand. You're still pissed because Plank insisted I come along. This is what we do. We count on one another. You're an unknown, and that could get one of us killed. I can hold my end up. You have any idea how difficult it was for Plank to turn this job over to you in the first place? Don't worry about whether or not I can take care of business. Keyes didn't say anything for a long time, but watched as Pierce stared across the room at Elena, laughing up at the manager. You did hear me when I said she was a fully patched member of Torpedo, Inc., right? Pierce shrugged. I heard you. You do understand that I'm a fully patched member of the Diamondbacks, right? That was pulling rank. Blatant pulling rank. Exactly, Keyes said, not in the least disturbed by the reminder. He tilted his head and gave another female manager his megawatt smile as she approached their table. He was happy when Pierce did the same. The woman made it clear she was all over Keyes, and he asked her if she had time for a dance. Pierce waited for the music to start, and then he sauntered across the club to Lana and Elena's table, bending close to be heard above the nightclub DJ and the pounding beat he provided. Dance with me. It wasn't a request. He knew he was pulling rank a second time. His club held jurisdiction over theirs. He wanted to make that very clear to them. Elena tilted her head to look up at him, her eyes searching his. With a small, rather haughty nod that made him want to smile, she stood, and he didn't hesitate, taking her into his arms. She felt as good as she looked. She had curves, the kind he liked. Her full breasts pressed against his chest as he whirled her deeper into the shadows. His hand slid down her back, following the curve to that sweet, round ass he'd been thinking about since he'd first laid eyes on her. "You shouldn't have come with us." It wasn't what he wanted to hear, but he'd take it. Her eyes were on his face, all blue, a deep ice blue, gorgeous. "Where the hell did you come from?" "Russia." She knew what he meant, but she deliberately misunderstood him. She made him want to smile. He hadn't felt like smiling in a very long time. His hands curved over her ass, pulled her closer into his body, fit her to him. She fit perfectly. "Russia's loss," he murmured, his mouth against her ear, his teeth closed over that little lobe and bit down. She didn't try to move away, her hips swaying into his rhythm. "Seriously, Pierce, we do this kind of thing all the time. We're good at it. You could get one of us killed." He didn't like her thinking that. "I spent my share of time in the SEALs, baby. I think I can keep everyone alive. I don't make mistakes." "Then why are you dancing with me?" Pierce knew she was right. He shouldn't risk it, not with the stakes so high. Keyes had been right as well. He couldn't be interested in a fully patched member of another club. "Your club accepts female members?"
"Obviously."
The tone of her voice dripped with haughtiness, and it made him smile. She was perfect. Everything he'd been looking for, but she wore another club's patch. "You ever think of ditching your club?"
"Never."
That was firm. He knew it was a waste of time. She was used to being heard, having a vote, knowing what the club was doing and participating. She wasn't the type of woman to be happy in a relationship with a man who wouldn't give her that. "We'd be good together," he persisted, knowing she was lost to him.
"I know. Chemistry is a bitch, isn't it?"
She smiled up at him. The song was ending, and he'd have to let her go. He wanted to kiss those perfect lips. But they were working, and he'd pushed his luck as far as it could go. In any case, Tasting paradise and walking away wasn't his idea of smart. He walked her back to her table, noting that slight little limp she had, and wondering why it turned him on and made him feel protective at the same time. He left her there and made his way back to Keys. "Manager told me about their casino. It's not located here, just like we thought. The casino is in the building the corporation running the clubs owns. It's located about 7 miles from here, just like Anya said. Another drink and we can go. I want to wait until Lana and Elena are safely out of here." Pierce was happy Keys didn't say anything about his dancing with Elena. Technically, he was there to oversee the rescue, or kill them all. Those were his orders. Things went south, he was to put a bullet in each of their heads. He didn't think that was going to be as easy as Plank had made it sound. In fact, watching them work together the night before was an eye-opener. Torpedo Inc. wasn't an average club. They might be small, but they were lethal. He was certain Plank recognized it in Reaper, but unsure if he'd noticed it in the others. "The girls are making their move now," Keys reported. Pierce was very aware of Elena standing with Lana, both shaking their heads when two men approached to ask them to dance. They appeared to be two carefree women moving across the dance floor toward the door, bent on having a good time at the casino. He didn't like that Elena was involved in any way in this business, but he had to get his head in the game. There were a lot of lives at stake. Reaper stared up the side of the building. It was a strange, square tower, rising up 4 stories where the rest of the building was only 2, plus the parking garage. The two women, dressed in their slinky dresses, dripping diamonds and rubies, walked right up to the front door, completely confident in their spike heels. Both waved a card at the doorman, smiling at him, Elena tossing her platinum hair over her shoulders, all flirty. "They're in," he reported. "Having the time of our lives," Lana said. Reaper could see them through the glass making their way to the elevator, where the guard there looked at their card for a second inspection. Elena had tripped slightly on the carpet just past the doorman. She bent to check her heel, running her hands down one silky leg. The doorman looked at her, not to the front. Lana flirted outrageously with the guard at the elevator, distracting him while Mechanic cruised right in, disrupting all cameras with the energy radiating from his body. He wore an elegant suit and continued across the floor without pausing to aid Elena as she stood up slowly. Mechanic avoided the elevators. He went directly to the first door to the left of the elevators, opened it, and disappeared inside. "In position." Lana and Elena entered the elevator, rode up to the second floor, where their card was checked a third time. They were let through the double doors to the much larger casino. It was in full swing, and crowded. The ghosts were making money. The two wandered around as if looking for the right game to play. "We're in. Cameras everywhere. Can you take them down from there, Mechanic?"
"I can shut down the entire building."
Mechanic was matter-of-fact. "We can't tip them off. Play a little. Have fun." Reaper watched as Keys and Pierce presented their card to the doorman. Keys was the number one player they needed inside. His gifts held the key to their success, which was how he'd gotten his road name. Reaper detested that it was Pierce with him. Keys needed backup he could count on. They'd argued long into the night and most of the next day, but Plank had insisted Pierce accompany them into the club and then into the building, where they were positive Sylvia, Plank's wife, was being held.
"Nice building,"
Keys commented to the doorman. His voice softened. He looked directly into the man's eyes.
"I've put up a few, but this design is incredible. Any chance I could look around on this floor before going up?"
The doorman hesitated. Couldn't look away. He shrugged.
"Knock yourself out. It's all offices down here. They've all gone home for the night."
He pointed to a security guard standing at the end of the hall, and the man jogged to him.
"Show them around the floor."
The guard nodded. Clearly he'd been bored, and showing two wealthy strangers in dark suits around was better than standing there trying not to fall asleep. Keys walked slowly, making a show of looking up the walls to the ceiling every few feet, while Pierce engaged the guard in small talk. They made the entire circuit of the lower floor before the guard escorted them to the elevator. Keyes stepped inside. "She's not in the parking garage or the lower floor. She won't be on the casino floor, but I'll make the circuit just to be safe. I'll have to get up to the third floor." He and Pierce circled the outer rim of the gaming tables. They spotted Lana at the card table and Elena at the slot machines. Both appeared to be winning small pots, nothing too big yet. They couldn't draw undue attention until and if they needed the distraction. "She's not on the second floor. I need to get up to the third." Reaper and Absinthe approached the building. Absinthe smiled at the doorman and showed him a map as if lost. The two talked for a moment, and then the doorman nodded several times, took the map and left the building, going straight to his car. Absinthe could plant ideas as well as extract information. "Now, mechanic, start shutting things down," Czar ordered from his vantage point across the street. He was up high, running the mission like he normally did. Preacher stretched out with his rifle, ready to protect his crew from a distance. The lights in the building flickered, came back on. A few seconds later, they flickered a second time, and then dimmed. "Cameras off," mechanic reported. "I'll take out the elevators after you're up to the third floor, Keyes." "Copy that," Keyes said, and sat down at a slot machine next to the elevator. "What the hell are you people doing?" Pierce demanded. He sat at the machine next to Keyes. "I thought we were looking for Sylvia, not playing games." The dimming of the lights hadn't slowed down those in the casino. Elena was moving to the craps table, and Lana was sitting in on a high-stakes card game. "Be patient. An operation like this takes time. We're getting into position and spreading out, looking for her. If you're having too hard a time, you can wait outside." Pierce glared at him. "I can't see that you're doing much beside wandering around," he said. "You might clue me in." Keyes sighed. "I know she's not on the lower floor, the parking garage, or here on this floor. Mechanic is messing with the lights and shutting down the cameras a few at a time, so they think the glitch is in the wiring. Absinthe and Reaper will be taking the elevator with us to the third floor. We're waiting for them." "Every door on the first floor was closed. How do you know she isn't down there?" Keyes shrugged. "I don't know how to explain it. It's what we do. We sense things." "You did this in Russia?" "We were schooled in Russia, trained, since we were children." Pierce studied his face for a long time. Then he finally nodded. "What's next?" "They're on the way up now." Keyes rose casually, collected his money, and sauntered toward the elevator. Pierce kept pace with him. The doors opened, and Keyes and Pierce stepped inside. A roar went up in the casino. Elena's laughter, contagious. A crowd rushed to the tables where she was winning throw after throw. The guard turned his head toward the sound of the crowd, and the elevator doors closed, taking them up, not down. The arrow on the outside of the door simply didn't light up, nor did the numbers above the elevator. Reaper regarded the two men. "Mechanics keeping the pressure on. Lights, cameras, things moving on and offline. We have to hurry, though. Someone's bound to call it in soon, and we can't take the chance that anyone holding the woman gets nervous." "I can sweep the third floor fast. Just watch my back. I won't be scanning for trouble." "I got you," Reaper assured him. He didn't look at Pierce. He knew why the man was there. He had been in Pierce's position all his life. He was there to kill them all if things went bad. Savage usually guarded Czar if Reaper didn't, but Ice and Storm were outside keeping all escape routes open and guarding their president. Savage was tracking Pierce, his entire focus on taking him out if the man made a move against any club member. Pierce hadn't spotted him, not with Reaper so close. The doors opened, and when Pierce went to step out, Keyes held him back, shaking his head. Absinthe stepped out while Reaper kept the doors open. A security guard turned toward them in surprise, and Absinthe spoke to him very quietly. The man handed over his gun and pointed toward a door. Absinthe walked him to the door, spent a few moments there, and then closed the door, leaving the guard inside. Keyes stepped out and started down the hallway, doing just what he'd done when he had been on the first floor, looking at each closed door, his gaze going from floor to ceiling. It took time to clear the floor, but he shook his head and they were back in the elevator.
No luck on the third floor. We're in the elevator. Lana, you're up for the distraction. Mechanic, we're headed to the last floor.
Keyes reported in.
I've got you. Cameras are off. No lights. The lights up there are so dim, they'll be lucky to see you step out,
Mechanic assured.
Czar, Elena won a shit ton of money. Do we get to keep it? What do you want it for?
There was suspicion in Czar's voice. Lana's laughter was a bright spot in their grim world.
We're getting you and Blythe another child for your birthday, Czar. You need another little boy running around giving you fits, and I can't wait to see Blythe's face.
You can't buy children, Czar said, relief pouring into his voice. There was silence. Not one of the members of Torpedo, Inc. addressed that. Reaper pressed his lips together. Trust Lana to bring it up when they were running a mission.
Lana! Suspicion was back. The rest of you are in on this. What the hell is going on?
No one spoke for another few seconds, so Reaper stepped up.
An internet sale of a young boy. Code stumbled on it. We bid on him. Can't track him. Code and his friend are on it, but so far the signal is bouncing all over Europe and the United States. We want to get the winning bid, get the kid free and shut them down.
Czar growled, letting them all know he was going to kill them when they got home. The elevator doors opened, and this time Pierce stayed to the back, allowing Absinthe to step out. Reaper was ready with his gun, as was Keyes. The first moment when a guard saw Absinthe was the most dangerous. He went straight to the guard, striding with great authority and confidence. This guard was more resistant to Absinthe, and in the end, the Torpedo Inc. assassin slit his throat and gently lowered him to the floor. Keyes hurried out of the elevator.
She's here somewhere. There's tension on this floor. Fear. I can feel all of it.
He didn't wait for the others. He simply hurried down one side of the floor, his gaze moving from floor to ceiling. He stopped abruptly and pointed down a hallway.
She's there, on the left, third from the last room.
Reaper moved close to Keyes and signaled to Pierce to take the other side. Weapons were drawn. Reaper wished they'd brought steel with them. He was a good doctor, and if the woman was in bad shape, he could fix her up fast enough to get them out of there quickly.
Guards in both rooms on either side of her, and one room across, Keyes reported.
How many?
Keyes paused just to the left of the first room. He held up four fingers and pointed to the first door. He looked at the door across from the woman's room and held up five fingers. The room on the other side had three men in it. The woman's room was last. He stared at the door for a long time. He held up two fingers.
They're raping her. She's bleeding. Cut up. She's fighting, though.
Reaper stood in front of the room with the five men in it. He was going to have to be accurate and fast. They didn't want to tip off the men holding the woman hostage.
Absinthe took the room with three men in it.
Keyes, the first one with four.
Pierce went to stand with Reaper.
Reaper indicated he take the left and Pierce go right.
Pierce nodded he understood.
Three, two, one.
Reaper counted off for the others, pointed to Pierce. They went in together, using silencers.
Reaper shot three of the five.
Pierce shot the other two and managed to get a bullet into one of Reaper's men before he hit the floor. They heard the sound of bodies falling from the other rooms, then silence.
You're efficient, Pierce commented. I'll give you that. Took out their guards. Going for the woman now,
Reaper reported.
Hurry. Mechanic can't hold them off forever. Lana, Elena, be ready,
Czar said. Reaper didn't wait. He went through the door, gun out, firing almost before he saw the exact position of each of the two men. He did it instinctively and took the man in front of Sylvia through the back of his head, and the man behind her through his left eye. He fired a third and fourth time, taking the one in front through the base of his skull, and the second man through his throat. He'd fired all four bullets before either man could recognize they were already dead.
"Don't let her scream," he told Pierce.
There was so much blood on the woman from the tiny slices the two-man hit team had made in her skin.
"Same exact M.O. as the men coming to cut up the mayhem, President's wife. What the hell, Reaper? Did we miss a school somewhere? Because what are the odds that these men all use the same method?"
To her credit, Sylvia didn't scream or make any sound at all. Her gaze jumped to the men and then to Pierce. He wrapped his jacket around her and then lifted her into his arms. She was slippery with blood, but he held on to her. She gasped in pain, and her entire body shuddered.
"I'm sorry, Sylvie," Pierce whispered. "We have to go now. Fast. I know it hurts, but we don't have a choice. We're taking you home, honey," he said softly.
She nodded, buried her face in his shoulder, and tried to make herself smaller.
"She good?" Reaper asked. "We've got to move."
"She's good. She's Plank's old lady," Pierce stated firmly, as if by declaring that it would tell Torpedo Inc. she was good to go.
"Have the package. We're on the move."
They formed a tight group with Pierce and Sylvia in the center, hurrying toward the elevators. Mechanic had the door opened from his position on the first floor, and they all pushed in together.
"We're in. Lana, Elena, be ready."
Reaper all but shoved Pierce toward the back of the elevator, so that they formed a solid wall of protection in front of the pair.
"In position," Lana said.
"In position," Reaper reported.
The elevator doors opened, and both women stepped inside, turned and rolled small devices that had been put together hastily from the contents inside their purses onto the casino floor. They'd already positioned more of the small devices throughout the entire floor as they'd walked through it. The elevator doors shut, and they were heading down fast to the first floor. They exited the elevator as the first explosion shook the building. Screams came from up above them.
"Mostly smoke," Keyes assured Pierce. "We go out together. Stay in the middle with her. Steele's in the van. He's a doc. He'll tend to her there."
As they made the exit, Lana and Elena peeled off to get their car in the parking garage. Keyes went to the right to hop into his car. He was picking up Preacher, who would leave last. Ice, Storm, and Czar were in the truck. It was just at the entrance to the parking garage, in position to cover them if something went wrong. Steele was already in the van, waiting. Doors open. They leapt in and moved away to give Steele and Pierce privacy to work on Sylvia. Transporter was at the wheel, and he had the van moving before the doors were all the way shut. The truck fell in behind him. Lana and Elena's BMW followed behind the truck, and Keyes took up the rear with Preacher.
"Nice operation," Pierce said to Reaper, once Sylvia had been convinced to take the pill Steele had provided.
He kept his eye on the Russian doctor, but the man seemed to know what he was doing and handled Sylvia carefully.
"Not our first," Reaper said.
"I noticed. Where did you learn your skills? I've got training, but you were practically going in blind. You still hit your marks, kill shots, every fucking one. You killed the two you had."
"I took a little more time," Pierce said. "Where'd you train?"
Reaper shrugged. "Russia. We went to the same school."
"Must have been a hell of a school. Military?"
Reaper stayed silent for a long time. Pierce looked at him steadily through the silence, clearly expecting an answer.
"You could say that."
It said nothing, yet said volumes. Pierce got it. He nodded slowly.
"All those scars, you get them in that school or after?"
"Both." Now they were getting into territory Reaper didn't want to discuss. Pierce was Diamondback. Their club was the top club, and all the smaller clubs in their territory, and it was very large, deferred to them. Torpedo Inc. had been careful to fly under their radar. Men like Plank and Pierce were smart. They saw things. They sized up anyone who might be a potential threat to their club. It would be impossible for a man like Pierce not to see that every member of Torpedo Inc. was deadly. Knowing they were trained assassins probably didn't sit well with the enforcer. His president had gone into the bar with complete confidence that they had the upper hand, when in fact they were surrounded by men already planning out how to kill them.
Elena and Lana trained there as well?
Reaper turned his gaze fully to Pierce's. Let him see what was coming at him if the man went after either woman.
Yes.
He kept his tone terse, ice-dripped. He wasn't alone. The other men in the van turned toward Pierce, and, Diamondback or not, the threat was very real. Pierce was a man who would recognize the threat, but he didn't react. He didn't look uncomfortable. He just nodded.
They were extraordinary. At the bar, in the nightclub, I would have liked to have seen them in action in the casino. No one would ever suspect them.
Reaper was impressed in spite of himself. Few men outside his circle impressed him. Tsar's brothers, but they'd gone to different training schools in Russia, suffered at the hands of sadistic instructors, and strangely, Jonas Harrington, the local sheriff, and his deputy, Jackson DeVoe, those men had earned his respect. Pierce joined that elite realm, because he was beginning to like the man. He warned him off.
She's beautiful, but she's also a fully patched member.
We have two women in our club for a reason, Pierce. Blythe and Anya are under our protection, but that means under Elena and Lana's protection as well. She'll never switch to another club. Never. She's got our colors on her back, the same as all of us. She's sworn to protect every member, and she would never break that vow. Don't go there. Pierce flashed a grin. Reaper noted it didn't light those deadly eyes. He shook his head. He'd given the warning. If Pierce chose to ignore it, that was on him. Elena was Torpedo Inc. Pierce was Diamondback. There was no mixing those two. Even if she dated him, she would wear her colors with pride, and sooner or later another Diamondback would get ugly. She'd kill him, and the war would start. The ride home was mostly silent. Sylvia slept, and Steele stayed close to her, washing each of the lacerations on her arms and chest, and then along her legs and torso. A few he closed with butterfly stitches, a few he glued. He was gentle as only Steele could be. Reaper watched the care on his face. He was very impersonal with the way his hands cared for her, yet the personal was on his face, the flashes of anger as he moved to her lower body. Was she... Pierce wanted it confirmed, but Sylvia was a friend, and he couldn't say it aloud.
Yes, she was raped. She has tearing.
Steele swore softly, his hands still closing cuts.
She needs antibiotics.
I can prescribe them. And Plan B, the morning after pill.
She's a fighter. Her hands are bruised, knuckles torn. She has bruises all over her. They worked her over pretty good.
You have good doctors in your club? Pierce stared out the window.
Some. Not close, but we can send for them.
Plank may ask you to help out until we can get someone from one of the other chapters.
Steele nodded. I can do that. I've had a lot of experience with this.
He broke off and shook his head. Reaper felt for the man. He had been the one to care for all of the girls when they'd come back broken and bloody to their disgusting, germ-ridden dungeon. Too many times, over and over. Helping Sylvia had to bring back those nightmare days. Pierce glanced at Steele, and then his gaze jumped sharply to Reaper's face. Reaper gave him stone. What they'd all suffered was private. Elena and Lana had a past that belonged only to them, not to anyone else. If they chose to share it, as he'd shared his with Anya, that was their prerogative. He wasn't about to confirm or deny what Pierce was thinking. It moved through Reaper's mind that someday he might have to kill this man. It was the reason he never got close to anyone. There was always that possibility. He didn't let himself like Pierce, but he wanted to. The man was solid. He was the kind of man Reaper hoped Elena and Lana would find someday. But not a Diamondback. Neither woman would ever fit into a club where the women had no say, no vote, and came second. Not only would Elena hate that and refuse it, her brothers, Reaper included, would never allow it. They'd fought too hard to keep Elena and Lana alive and give them freedom. two women out of so many. His eyes met Steele's over Sylvia's head. They'd seen this hundreds of times. They had experienced it. The pain, the humiliation, the guilt, the horror. Life went on, but the victim wasn't the same. They would never be the same. They didn't know Plank. They didn't know if Sylvia's husband was a good man, one that would take his time and allow his woman to process in her own way. They had no idea if he would allow her to work things out slowly, to come back to her life and grieve and be angry, to go through the gamut of emotions not once, but over and over. "You have someone she can talk to?" Steele asked. "She'll need someone." Pierce's expression shut down. "We don't go outside the club." It wasn't exactly what Steele asked, but it still said a lot. The men looked at one another and then out the window, memories far too close. Plank waited at a house on the outskirts of Ukiah, a town an hour and a half from the coast. The president of the Diamondbacks had an army with him. The van had to go through two checkpoints before they made it to the drive in front of the house. It said something about Plank that he ignored the men guarding him and leapt forward even before the engine had shut off to jerk open the double doors of the van. When he saw his wife, he turned away, a loud groan escaping before he swore violently. Pierce jumped out first. "We got her back. The ones who did this are dead. But they have an operation going, Plank. A big one." Plank turned back to his wife, hearing nothing, seeing nothing but her bruised, swollen face. He reached for her. Steele gathered her up and gently placed her in her husband's arms. Pierce covered her with his suit jacket once again. "I'll want a report," Plank snapped, his voice thick with emotion. "Who is taking care of her?" Steele jumped out of the van and stretched. "I'm a doctor. That would be me. Come inside with me. And Czar as well." Reaper stepped out of the van. "Czar's inside. So am I," he said it to Pierce. It occurred to him that the Diamondbacks president might not want others to know his wife had been raped. What better way than to wipe out the Torpedo Inc. club? They were small in numbers, and right now the Diamondbacks had the vehicles surrounded. The vehicles were armed with all sorts of weapons, but the Diamondbacks had no idea of that. Pierce glanced back at him, gave him a curt nod, and then followed his president into the house. Reaper watched Lana and Elena take up their positions. They were still dressed in their slinky, form-fitting, low-cut dresses, and both made a show of moving around their little car, bending to look in the mirror, checking makeup, and generally keeping all eyes on them. Pierce came back out of the house as Czar and Reaper approached, but his gaze was on the two women. He shook his head. "I see they know exactly what they're doing." Reaper didn't react. As far as he was concerned, Pierce was on his own figuring out what Czar's crew was doing, while Plank's men were watching the Elena and Lana show. He flanked Czar, Savage moving into step beside him. His brother had come out of nowhere. Pierce's sharp gaze jumped to his face, then to Reaper's. Neither man looked at him. They weren't going to explain where Savage came from, not when he had to have ridden in one of the three vehicles to Marin and back. Pierce shook his head again. He knew now just what kind of men and women Torpedo Inc. was composed of. They'd wanted to keep that secret, especially from other clubs, but they'd blown it when they'd decided to help Plank get his wife back. Now it was up to Pierce whether or not he decided to share that information and start a war, or just tuck it away for future use, if he ever needed it. Either way, Reaper didn't like that he knew. Plank carried his wife straight to the bedroom, glancing over his shoulder at Steele. "In here," he said unnecessarily. "Why won't she wake up?" "I gave her a mild sedative. She was in a van surrounded by men she didn't know, no clothes, and I had to work on her. I didn't want her more uncomfortable than she needed to be. She'll wake up soon. She's been showing signs of coming around for the last few minutes. If you talk to her, that will help. She'll need to take a couple of pain pills in the next 20 minutes. I want to keep her as comfortable as possible." "Before she wakes up," Plank said, staring down into his wife's bruised and swollen face. I want you to tell me everything that happened to her. Don't leave out one detail. Steele told him everything he knew about the multiple attacks on Plank's wife. They had to have intended to kill her, because they would know if they gave her back in this condition, you'd retaliate. I would have retaliated anyway, Plank said. We're already preparing to take down their club and the casino. Steele shrugged. I don't care what you do, but I do care that your wife recovers. To do that, she needs her man. I get what you're saying. Plank walked him out of the bedroom and pushed open the door next to the room. You can stay in here. He wasn't asking. Steele stood for a moment, then looked past him to Czar. Czar nodded slowly. Steele shrugged. I'll need my equipment. He walked around Plank, heading for the door. Two Diamondbacks stepped in front of him, preventing him from leaving. Pierce shook his head, went straight to his president, and lowered his voice so no one else could hear him. Reaper was on the side of Czar closest, and he shifted, gliding silently so he could get into position to hear what the enforcer said to his president. Plank, this club risked their lives for Sylvia and you. They pulled the rescue off like clockwork. Precise. It was a thing of beauty. Not once have they shown disrespect toward us, but every time they turn around, they're met with suspicion and hostility. You've got to tell the boys to stand down. Plank shook his head. It's Sylvia. I was there when Reaper shot the bastards. He killed both of them before they could even register we were there. There was no risk to Sylvia, and the moment they got her out of there to safety, Steele began working on her. She was treated with respect at all times. I didn't have to make sure of it, or remind them who she was. They just did it. Plank nodded his head and waved the guards from the door. I wanted to kill those fuckers myself, Pierce. Sitting here, waiting for word on my wife while another club rescued her, made me feel like a pussy. I should have taken the boys and stormed that place. They would have killed her before you got to her. The place was a fortress. Security that tight. It had to be a small force going in undetected to get her back. It was the only way, and you did the right thing. Torpedo Inc. is affiliated with us. They came to us and asked to be in our territory. We agreed. They might be small, but they have their uses. Seriously, Plank, I watched them work. They were like a machine. If you want my advice, I would tell you to form closer ties with them. They definitely have their uses. Plank regarded him for a long moment and then nodded. We'll do it right. Put it to the members and bring them in closer. Pierce nodded. Reaper thought the enforcer was a crafty, seriously intelligent son of a bitch that he was going to have to watch night and day because the man was up to something. He hoped he didn't have to kill Pierce, but there was a glimmer of dread forming in his gut that told him that possibility was growing. He glanced at his brother. Savage was looking at Pierce and thinking the same thing. Reaper could tell by the ice in his eyes. Chapter 21 The demons arrived late evening. Czar had invited them for a meeting and a party after. Reaper knew they needed allies. The Diamondbacks had made vague overtures after Steele had returned, but Czar was reluctant to be too close to them. In the end, that club tended to swallow the smaller clubs. None of them could give up the freedom they'd finally found after years of being owned. Hammer brought a small contingency of 20 with him, plus 3 prospects. Torpedo Inc. had enough room to host the bikers and the women they brought along with them. Hammer's wife didn't come. He claimed she was still recovering, but Reaper was certain she didn't want to see the men who had rescued her quite yet. He didn't blame her. Reaper and Savage stayed close to Czar at all times. The meeting went well, with the two presidents, vice presidents, and their top people hammering out details of what they were willing to do and the cut each side would have. Czar insisted that anything running through their territory had to be reported to the Diamondbacks, and a deal struck before it went through. Hammer agreed to allow Czar to do the negotiations, but he wanted to be there. The party was already underway by the time they adjourned. Drinks flowed freely, along with food from the barbecue that had been going most of the day, slow roasting a quarter head of beef and enough chicken to feed an army. A couple of hours later, the fire pits were lit and the music was cranked up. The demon